Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, expect scattered flurries with wind chill values as low as negative 28. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near zero and a low around negative 9. Monday will be partly sunny with a high of 7. Tonight is the night. The Blue State Ball at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. Come see all of your AM 950 favorites like Tom Hartman, John Fugelsang, and Matt McNeil. You'll even get to meet me. Dress code is blue jeans to ball gowns. Tickets can now only be bought at the door. General admission starts at 6:30 p.m. I hope to see you there.
This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
There was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
The American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hare, Distant Thunder. We discuss local and national Native issues and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I'm proud to work with Wendy Pilot and Curtis West on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show, we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are still suffering from the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Native women and men, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America. We're proud to have Native American House Representative Mary Kunish Podine lead off today's show.
Hi, it's State Representative Mary Kunish Podine, District 41B, and it is March 1st, 2019. We had a super busy week this past week, and I was able to introduce some really great bills, and one of them that I introduced was a bill to increase teachers of color and American Indian teachers in Minnesota. We know that the percentage of teachers of color and American Indian teachers lags way behind all the other groups. And one of the things that we know is that the lack of teacher racial and ethnic diversity is really a national problem, with only 20% of our nation's teacher workforce being teachers of color. And more than half of our kids are of color. So there's a real disproportionate thing going on there. Our K-12 students are increasing. Our kids of color continue to increase. But unfortunately, Minnesota continues to lag behind the other states. And our lack of diversity contributes to, I believe, to our nation-leading achievement gap. Our kids really want to see somebody that looks like them, that has real life experiences similar to them, that can really empathize with the struggles of today's economy and the world that we live in. And so we're working hard to make sure that that happens. A couple of the things that were in this bill or are in this bill is that we are really working hard to increase the opportunity for teachers to get into the workforce. So, for example, we have a Grow Your Own program that has incentives for those who are the helpers in the school building, our paraprofessionals, our assistants. There are opportunities and financial opportunities for those folks to get into the workforce. We're also hoping to put more money into intro to education programs and classes in our high school. And this would provide students the opportunity to see if they even want to be a teacher. So they can take an introduction to teaching class in their high school, get college credits, and be on their way to becoming a teacher, a full-fledged teacher. And it's never easy when you're going to college. And so some of the things that are in this bill would provide incentives for students to continue their education. It's always a struggle when you have to do your student teaching. Unfortunately, a student teaching position is not a paid position. And that means that there is easily 4 or 5 months of no income coming in while you're student teaching. And there are grants available in this legislation for those who might need that boost during their student teaching days. Once you become a teacher, of course, that's always a challenge. And fortunately, in this bill, we have amped up the funding for mentors in the school. And these are mentors that understand what it's like to be a new teacher, trying to figure out curriculum, trying to figure out how to deal with the kids. And sometimes that gets really frustrating. We find that an overwhelming number of teachers of color who have entered the classroom and entered the schools are dropping out and quit teaching at an alarming rate. And so these mentors will help and encourage each other to stay in the teaching profession, because I know personally, the joy of teaching is pretty incredible. The other thing that it does is that we know that so many of our kids are strapped with heavy student loans. And if you are the kind of person that would be willing to go into an area that is underserved by teachers of color, there's an opportunity for you to get your teacher loans forgiven. And so we're looking for all kinds of different ways to support the future of our students and our teachers. And I believe that this legislation will really make the difference, because we need to increase our teachers of color in order to address the really serious learning gap and opportunity gap for our students. So that's what I wanted to share with you this week. If you're interested in learning more about this bill and some of the work that's gone into it, I would encourage you to look up the Coalition to Increase Teachers of Color and American Indian Teachers in Minnesota. They've got a dynamite website. There's lots of information how you too can become a teacher. I think that Robert and I will both tell you that there's nothing like really opening up the mind and the heart of our students. And so if you're looking for an opportunity for the future, please, please think about becoming a teacher, because we need you, our students need you, and the future needs you. So I'll sign off now. I hope everybody had a great week, and best wishes for the week to come.
Pini Gigi for all the strong words and all you do for our Native people. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour free service. Fig and Farrell. We are a mission-based restaurant. Serving up delicious plant-based food isn't our only priority. We are climate change activists who are educating guests on the enormous carbon footprint that is created by livestock production. Join us in eating less meat and enjoying food that is good for you and the planet. We're in Uptown Minneapolis, right in Calhoun Square, on the corner of Link and Hennepin. Visit figandfarrow.com for daily hours. Fig and Farrow, serving delicious plant-based food.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Northland Visions and Moon Palace Bookstore.
Oh, hoo. Hey, we're really proud to have Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson on the line. Welcome, Hennepin County Sheriff. I just love saying that over and over again. Welcome back.
I like when you say it. How about that?
Hey, all right, cool. Yeah. So, hey, you've been in, this is like your third month now of being sheriff, coming into your third month. How have you been doing?
Busy, you know, it's awesome, but Uncle Curtis and the wonderful Wendy in the studio today?
Yes, they are.
Oh, hello, Chushka.
Hey, Dave, hello. How
I
are you?
I say hi to them first. Pleasure before business, I think. Right? Yeah. Well, y'all three are my favorite. And I'll answer your question, Robert, but I want to bring up something later, too.
Sure.
It's been, you know, eight, 9 weeks. It's been a lot of work, but I work long hours. But I tell you what, it's awesome. I mean, it's just great. You know, get to see these deputies and the staff, and they're just happier because I treat them with respect. And it goes back to my campaign promises. Like, you know, I can't expect my staff to treat people well if I'm not treating them well. And, and I think with them being so much more happy and productive, I think anytime they deal with the public, they're going to be respectful. And I think it's just going to, you know, solve a lot of the problems just on its own. Good. It's great. Thank you for asking.
That's awesome. And I know some of the sheriffs that you've met because you were going to all the areas hadn't seen the main sheriff in years or if ever.
Yeah. You know, we have about 36 cities with police chiefs in Hennepin County. And every month they have a Hennepin Chiefs Association meeting. And I go up there and, you know, those men and women have the same objective as anybody. They just want to keep people safe. And you know, I think they're pleasantly surprised with the new leadership, but my style is, you know, we're not going to interfere with your business, but we're here to help. And, you know, Hennepin County has the best investigative resources. They have the best, you know, crime lab in the state. I mean, so we're a good asset, but again, we want to be partners. We don't want to act like we're in charge of them because they're in charge of their own city.
Tell our audience, because we get a lot of people from all over the country listening, tell them how many people are in Hennepin and how many, tell me the demographics that you serve.
Yeah, so it's about 1.3 million. It's the largest county in Minnesota by you know, times two. I mean, Ramsey County is the second largest, and we have, you know, double the population. They're about 550. We're 1.3 million. So, you know, we're in the top 15%, or top 15 major counties in the country. So, you know, obviously L.A., Cook County is much, much bigger, but, you know, we're in the top 15. I'm a member of the Major County Sheriff's Association, which is a good organization, and a lot of like-minded sheriffs where we serve very diverse populations, and I learned a lot from them, and it's just a great organization, and, you know, we're you know, it all comes down to the end. We're just here to serve our people and make sure they're safe and treat everybody the same.
Yeah, Sheriff Hutch, I'd like to ask a question. You know, what I like about what you just said there was how diverse this county is, right? And you're showing up at different the Somalis, the Native Americans, the Blacks, everything. And it's a good thing that you're doing that, and it's kind of making me comfortable that, and it's probably making everybody else. I live in Hennepin County. So when I heard about you doing this, showing your face up at different events, it really impressed me. Really, really impressed me.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel very good coming from you, because I respect and you impress me every time I listen to you, with your, especially the ending with all your humor. I love that stuff. But hey, Curtis, it's a simple thing. People elected me to do that. You know, Tracy Martin, you know, who's the first woman of color to be in that position in Hennepin County. She's brilliant, and she's an operations expert, so she does all the day-to-day operations, and you know, my job is to make sure that people know what we're doing. They're paying all these taxes, and so I, you know, even if I didn't want to, which I love going to these events, that's what people like me for. It's my job,
and Sheriff,
I'm going to do it as long as the people allow me to do it.
Excuse me. And Sheriff, and one thing I really like about it too, and it's not fake news or anything like that, but you've been real transparent in your views and everything, and how you want to, you know, keep this Hennepin County safe and, you know, healthy and, you know, stop the violence.
I like how you blend in with the crowd, because we were at the same event and didn't even know it last Saturday.
Yeah, I can't believe you were there. Usually I can only see because you're a little taller than most people, but I think
admitted it's the nose that you can, that picks that you can spot right away.
Oh,
I don't know what you're talking about, Rob.
Oh, bless you, bless you. Eric's even laughing in the control room there.
Yeah.
So yeah,
the thing I want to bring up, I was just down in Eagan for the state DFL business meeting. I probably got the name wrong, but they're electing, like, you know, the chair and the vice chair and the secretary and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to meet, like, three or four people came up to me and said, oh, I love listening to you on AM 950 on the Native Roots Radio. And I said, well, I'm about 10 minutes. I got to leave to go on there. And they're literally probably sitting there on their iPhones with their headphones listening. So, hello.
Give them a shout out.
That's awesome. And, you know, Hutch, yeah. I really appreciate how you're leading with kindness. I think that goes a long way, and I think that's what's going to make the big difference in Hennepin County.
Well, it's just, I mean, people think it's a difficult job, which it is. It's a lot of pressure, but it's so easy when you treat people decent. You treat people who deserve respect with respect, and you know, the 1% of people in the world that aren't maybe the best people shouldn't take all our time. We should concentrate on the 99% of the good people and help the 1% when we can, and it's just an easy concept. Treat people how you want to be treated, and life goes pretty dang easy.
That's right. Hey, say, I know you're really busy, but do you have time to be on for another segment?
Absolutely, especially with you three. And
awesome.
And Curtis promised me to buy me a soda pop tonight, too, at the ball.
One or two there, Hutch. And, one thing I want to add before you take a break is that, like I said, that compassion that you show. And we haven't had that from Stinky or Stanek. But it's compassion, compassion and respect, and you'll demand it back.
Absolutely, sir. You got it.
All right. Hey, we're with and we don't say a sheriff-elect anymore. We say Hennepin County Sheriff David Hutchinson is online, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents.
I'm Awake.
Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. J. Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, J. Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one out of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Northland Visions is a destination and Native-owned business to share with friends, specializing in Native American art from the woodlands and plains tribes surrounding Minnesota. They carry Native food like wild rice, wild berry jellies, and syrups. Also moccasins, blankets, beadwork, ceremonial supplies, beads, and much more. Visit northlandvisions.com to take a virtual 360 tour of our new space and new location at 861 East Hennepin Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. Stop into Northland Visions for Native American art and unique Minnesota gifts.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, expect scattered flurries with wind chill values as low as negative 28. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near zero and a low around negative 9. Monday will be partly sunny with a high of 7. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is The Great Wall. The Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious mix of both Szechuan and Peking dishes since 1981. Check out their location just north of 50th and France in Edina.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Be Resale and Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Awesome. Say, we were talking earlier. We're here with Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and we were kind of talking during the break how we always howl for howling for wolves, and we felt like every time we say Hennepin County Sheriff, we want to howl. No, we were just talking about it. I didn't say we should do it. Sheriff Hutchinson, I have a question that's been kind of bouncing around the internet, and I'm wondering if you can verify, qualify, or just tell us if you've heard anything or see anything about this. One of the things that came up about a week ago is through Unicorn Riot, which is an independent news group that was talking something about there's a lot of sheriffs or had been a lot of sheriffs. I don't know the specifics that have been training in in Florida with regards to Line 3 up here in Minnesota. And I want you to clear the air of what you know or what you don't know.
Sure. Hello. I'm back, huh?
Yeah, you're on.
Good thing I didn't say anything. I didn't hear the click in there. But oh. About that, me and you talked briefly about that. Is I don't know what they did in the past, but I can say since January 7th, we have not sent anybody to Florida. I know that for a fact. It's myself and my administration would definitely know if people are traveling outside of the state for training because we're trying to be cost effective and not spend a bunch of money, but also that's something I don't agree with. You know, the water protectors, I hope, Line 3, I hope we can work together as, water protectors and other folks. And, I still don't, we talked, we're not going to send people up there. We have our own stuff to worry about down here. And it's something where, politically and ethically, I don't want to get involved in. So we have not sent anybody for training down to Florida, and we don't intend to.
Well, you heard that live on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Native Roots Radio. So I really appreciate that. So now let's go into the fun now. So we're going to be seeing you tonight.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so are we. This will be Wendy and ours third and Curtis's second. I don't know how you didn't get invited the first one, Curtis, because you're the
blue
star of the show.
Blue State Ball. The Blue State Ball.
Well, I think it's because they probably didn't think Curtis would come because he's such a celebrity. You know?
Thank you, Trishka.
Yeah, so.
You're welcome. But yeah, it's been fun. Justin's coming with me. And,
great.
And I have to say on air that I think Chad owes me a beer because during my speech at the Egan convention just now, I had a conversation with Chad via text today. And I said, what do you want me to talk about in my speech? And so I said, while preparing for my speech, AM 950 ball tonight, that we're going to talk about, my speech is going to be about how grassroots campaigns do work. They take a lot of work and they take a lot of community involvement. And so I gave him a little shout out there. So he better owe me something, like a drink or something.
I think he's good for it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Too.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were excited, and we, part of our show and being around, this is our third year, and being involved a lot in that last election cycle was really exciting for us. And I feel like, we're doing something good to put some people good like yourself and promoting the fact that you can be a good person, still be a politician of sorts.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about the office and, the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. And I always call it the office. If you sometimes look it up, what the difference is, because the office and the department, where we call police departments, is different because it's an office. It's an office for the people. It's the people's office. And I'm just the person, running at this. But not people who live and work and play in Hennepin County. That's something they get lost sometimes, and people always say, how are you going to make sure you don't get a big head like everybody else? And, I think our friendship, I think you'll call me out. Uncle Curtis definitely will. Justin and, some of my staff members. Mm-hmm. I make jokes to them once in a while and they say, oh, here we go. And they put me back in line real quick. But you got to have some humility and realize that I'm not here without you. And a side note to that is, at this thing down Egan, a woman who's wearing a kind of a cool medallion, not as cool as the one I'm getting, I've heard, but and I talked to her and she goes, that was the first person that gave you that show was the first show that gave you, kind of took your message out on the radio. So you guys were the first people that gave me a chance and that means the world to me. And that's, I value that a lot, but I value the friendship I've made with you. But you guys were the first ones, and so I owe a lot to you. So.
And we we really, really appreciate that. And we always connect the dots backwards because we had Barry Hand on here, Barry Frantum, mm-hmm. who awesome. Called us all out to get a new sheriff in this progressive county. You know, he had 20 minutes to talk specifically about that. And so that kind of got us awoke, you know, in this in the show. And you, I don't even remember how you how I found you or how you found me or I, well maybe
yeah,
I
well,
do.
It was the wonderful Barry Hand talked to the Minneapolis guy Cheryl Goodman,
yes,
who connected those dots. So it's both those, and you know they're such phenomenal people too.
And I work with Jack or her husband at Hardy.
Yeah, he's awesome too, big
yeah,
Jack.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's
so
a
there's
big
the
dude. Yeah. He's probably the nicest mm-hmm. guy I've met, and they're all family. They got you know their two sons, and plus they've taken in a few other people to raise.
Mm-hmm.
But the big little Jack, which is not little, he's
right.
He's tall.
He's bigger than built. I am now. I think.
Yeah, he's huge. Nicest kid in the world. Mm-hmm. He goes to school at Patrick Henry and. When I was working for the transit police, we went out there and kept the peace at the bus stop there once in a while. And, you know, he 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid. And all his friends, he always came up and said, hey, how you doing? And super nice. And, you know, most kids at Patrick Henry High School aren't going to come up and talk to the cops and be friendly with us. But he always was. And, you know, it tells you something about when you have good people raising you, how you turn out.
Mm-hmm. Right. What you give out, you get back. You know, and that's exactly what I think Wendy was alluding to too. That how genuinely nice.
Sorry, I talk over.
No, how genuinely nice that you guys, you and your partner are, and it's a privilege to, and it's good that you have people that are going to call you, and so you don't become a jaded Hennepin County sheriff, and
no.
You know, call you out. Wendy's laughing at me here.
Wow, man, Wendy was too. That's the nice thing about her being from the East Coast. They don't have a filter sometimes.
Tell me about it. This is Wendy was gone
well,
for.
I gotta say hello to Wendy. Wendy, yeah. I miss you. So I'm glad we get to see each other tonight. But how are you?
I miss you too. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thanks. I appreciate.
How's
that.
Maybe I don't want to talk about the ear. The ear, 100% now.
Your ear.
Oh, my ear. Yeah. My ear is okay. I have to have another surgery on it. So that's another story for another day.
Okay.
But it's pretty good. I'm in no pain.
Good.
You know, feeling good.
Wendy was in New York for a couple weeks. Her mom's very ill and is hopefully on the mend right now with some chemo and stuff. We don't really want to get into that over the air. But Wendy was gone, and Curtis and I were lost for 2 weeks, I'll tell you that.
We sure were. Wendy, where are you?
I'll tell you what, Wendy is the glue that holds that place together. Cause she's,
right.
We all fear her.
Sure.
We all fear Wendy. Look at even Eric's over there shaking.
Hey, so Sheriff Hutch. Yeah. Sheriff Hutch. I'm
being so nice to her. I don't want to get beat up.
Sheriff Hutch. Sheriff Hutch, I want to say one thing that came to my mind just a little bit ago, what you were talking about. And, you know, you said we helped you out, but you don't know how much you support Native Roots Radio. And, you know, we appreciate that very, very much.
It's a great program, and I can't wait till you guys are like, you know, on the for everybody in the world can listen to you. You get messages, and I think it's. And I talked to Robert earlier. It's like you know, I think I'm pretty well informed about most things, and even as a young man. But since I've been, you know, our partnership, we'll say, is I've learned so much about the Native culture, and you know, and the bad stuff that happened that. We didn't necessarily learn about in public schools, and so I learned a lot about life and about the community, and that's one reason why I'm so involved now in the Native communities, because I really it's an intriguing culture, and it's a real tough culture, and you guys been through a lot and still are here and kicking and doing good stuff. So I've learned more than I could ever imagine, so I appreciate that too.
And then Sheriff. Yeah, what you said there, too, you know, we're going through a lot, but like Matryoshka here, Robert always says, we are still here and we're not going anywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. Been here 10,000 right. years, and it's still a struggle, but we are still here.
Yeah. We'll be until the world ends, that's for sure.
Well, I always tell my students that they need to get ready because this democracy will fail in a few hundred years, and we've been here 10,000 years, so we're going to be here longer.
True.
So
I mean,
we got to be ready to take our country over, get back to us. And then I tell them, you're not ready. Tell these kids, you're not ready. Learn the language.
Well, that's, you know, that language is very important, as Uncle Curtis always talks about. And, you know, it's just mind-blowing how little the language is still spoken when it was, at one point, was the only language spoken in different tribal lands. So it's just kind of crazy how that happens, but hopefully it comes back. And it's important, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna be Wendy and I went to see a documentary last night called Warrior Women, and this lady that we're gonna talk a little bit about next section, she's been around since Alcatraz, when they took over Alcatraz in 1968, and she's still kicking and
wounded knee.
And well, she's been she was at everything,
yeah.
But we're gonna be talking about her, and she's an amazing person. You know, and she's leading the way. And, you know, we're so happy, and we can't wait to see you tonight. We're going to get a big hug and a group hug.
Group hug and a selfie hug.
Yeah.
We'll put Chris in the middle of the hug.
You know? All right. You know? I'm looking forward.
And Eric will take the picture, right, Eric?
That's right.
Well, I'm not in it?
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Eric's in
the picture.
Hard work you guys do.
Good one.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you, and we appreciate everything you do. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. That was Sheriff Dave Hutchinson of Hennepin County. We'll be right back.
We are a Lusa Nation. We are a Lusa Nation.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I'm here with Greg, owner of Northland Visions. Greg, what is Northland Visions?
Well, thanks, Robert. Northland Visions is a Native American art and gift store. We concentrate on woodlands and plains, Native American art, and gifts from our surrounding tribes.
Why plains and woodlands art?
Well, my father is Ojibwe from northern Minnesota, and he started the company 18 years ago, and we wanted to represent the state. So we have the Ojibwe of northern Minnesota, and then Wisconsin, Michigan, and towards the east coast are the woodland tribes, and then southern Minnesota you have the Dakota, and then you go west, and it's North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and up into Canada are the plains tribes. So we started the company, Northland Visions, as a native-based gift packaging company offering unique gift baskets filled with local native-based foods like hand-harvested wild rice, wild berry jellies and syrups, and much more. And Northland grew so fast, we needed to move from our home-based business to a storefront, hence our start on Franklin Avenue. Here it is, 18 years later, and we've expanded to our new location, which is twice as large in northeast Minneapolis, and we're located in the historical Miller Textile Building. We grew from our humble beginnings of making seasonal gift baskets to offering original paintings, sculptures, beadwork, quillwork, turquoise jewelry, blankets, moccasins, drums, dream catchers, and the largest selections of native-based beads and supplies in the area, which is also available on our online store at northlandvisions.com. So be sure to follow us on Facebook to get up-to-the-date notifications on events, sales, and new products on our Facebook page, Northland Visions Native Art and Gifts. And also come down to visit us at Northland Visions for your gift-giving needs or a little something for yourself. We are only 7 minutes away from our old location with plenty of parking and wheelchair access at 861 East Hennepin Avenue, or visit us on the web, northlandvisions.com.
That was Greg of Northland Visions. Thank you so much, Greg. Pini Gigi.
Thank you, Robert.
genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mag Mechanical and Jay Selby's.
Say, we were at a film fest last night, Wendy. What was the name of the film festival again? Because you know I have trouble saying
Indie Genesis. Gen.
You know I have
Indie
trouble
Genesis.
Trouble saying.
And it was at the Walker Art Center, and it was a documentary called Warrior Women, and mm-hmm. it's a story of Madonna Thunderhawk.
Mm-hmm. And it was awesome.
It was really awesome. Yep.
Because she was in Alcatraz, the beginning pretty much of – that was pre-AIM. Mm-hmm. And she was at all the American Indian Movement things. And the women really led the charge. There was a book written something about where the power and the men were the jawbone or something like that. Do you remember?
Yeah, but she kind of said the women really ran the show.
Yep.
And I kind of like that.
And I kind of can relate to her. How about you, Chris?
Oh, definitely.
yeah, but she cultivated a ragtag gang of activist children, which included her daughter, mm-hmm. Marcy. And they started a group called We Will Remember, and it was a survival group. And she was really the teacher of all these children and taught them about the culture and how to dance and sing in the culture and how to eat foods from the ground, indigenous foods, and how to really be an activist. That's really what she taught these children.
And it was interesting how it was done. We're going to roll this really quick here, but it started with when she was young in boarding school, and then how they dammed up the river in South Dakota and they lost all their land and mm-hmm. and it was all underwater. But let's take a listen to Madonna.
The most important thing that we're doing, I think, is supporting the young people, because that's what we had when we were young. A lot of these things that happened in the late 60s and early 70s wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the elders behind us. And now it's our turn. So that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to be good elders, supportive elders, issue-oriented elders. No gossip and rumor, that type of thing, you know. Put that aside and, you know, walk our talk, in other words. But that's the main thing. But kind of what's got this going was we realized when we were trying to work on different issues, you know, of course, water rights, that's always, you know, number one. We've got the largest freshwater reservoir in this country is the Owyhee Dam right there. It borders our res. So we've always been, you know, in a battle with this government over water, and now it's corporate greed. So that's kind of like an ongoing thing. But one of the things that those are the kind of issues that we were working on, but One of the things that we found out was how many grandmothers were raising grandkids. So that was a lot of saying, we got to do this, we got to do that. Yeah, well, can you, you know, well, we'll pick you up. And they'll say, well, yeah, I can't. You know, I got my grandkids with me. A couple of them are in school. And, you know, they just couldn't juggle the, and not everybody back home has a cell phone or that's on Facebook or internet, you know. So those are the kinds of things we started noticing. So to give those grandmothers that kind of support, we, you know, of course, we've been battling the state of South Dakota DSS and the ICWA violations and all of that. That's just kind of an ongoing thing anywhere in Indian country. And so that's nothing new. But how we got going back home, that was one of the main issues. So it's more or less of a support system for grandmothers. We have a whole group of our younger grandmothers. And they're the ones that are working. Some of them are working two jobs plus raising grandkids. So us elder grandmothers, we're on, you know, Social Security, you know, so we can make it to the meetings, the tribal council meetings, the different community meetings, the water, the tri-county water that we have a company on our reservation, those kinds of things. We're kind of like the watchdogs. We show up at their meetings, and we just sit there and we watch and we pretend, take notes. Nobody likes to do that, you know, so but we pretend, you know. Whip out, make a big show of it, you know, get our tablet out. Old school, you know. Just to let them know, you know, we're watching you guys. We're on to you, you know. And then we go to the tribal council meetings and we just ask questions. We don't attack them or, you know, anything like that. We just say, okay, we went to the Tri-County Water board meeting, you guys, and guess what? So what are you guys going to do about that? And they go like, well, you know, start coughing around and stuff. But, you know, we let them know, too, that we're watching you, too, you know. But we're not here to complain and whine around. You know, we're here to let you know that we're issue-oriented and we're going to stay on top of stuff. So there's all ages are needed now because our people, we're circling the drain nationwide. So each part of our Indian society needs to step up. So regardless of what age you are, you're needed. And we got to do this, you know, we got to do this. I mean, the rest of the world, yeah, everybody needs water, but it took our people to make a stand that went worldwide at Standing Rock for the water. We had to carry everybody on our back again. You know, we're still sacrificing in the national interest as indigenous of this land. We're still doing that, all of us, regardless of what part of you know, territory we come from. We're indigenous. We're the evidence of this Western Hemisphere. Crow Dog taught us that long time ago. That's what he said. You are the evidence of this land. In other words, step up, you know. So that's basically what we, you know, we've been doing. It doesn't matter what age you are, you know. You got to get on it.
I just want to add that part of the grandmothers group is traveling to California.
So that was Madonna. That was an exciting thing. That was a little Q&A after the documentary of Warrior Women. Mm-hmm. And that was really exciting. And what are we going to see next?
Well, we're going to see smoke signals next. And what I really want to say is I was really surprised that Madonna Thunderhawk, she is a very funny woman. And she can convey what she wants to say and the importance with humor, and she was awesome. Yeah,
I know. Lou Holtz always said, "If you have them laughing, you have their attention." You know, and I think that's a thing I'll work on the rest of my life. All right, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this break with hour two.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been
been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Summit, which collapsed earlier this week.
We made a lot of progress, and we'll continue to make progress. And I really think what we're doing there is very important. But we actually had a walk, but I think we had a very good meeting. And in fact, when I came home, they put out a statement that actually they were willing to do much less on the sanction front.
Senator Bernie Sanders is making another run for president, kicking off his 2020 campaign at a rally today in Brooklyn, New York. Correspondent Ryan Nobles.
I think what was most interesting about what Bernie Sanders had to say here today was that a lot of what he spoke about was very similar to what he talked about in 2016. He talked about economic inequality. He talked about trying to level the playing field, to make corporations pay their fair amount of taxes. He talked about reproductive health rights for women. Those are all things he said in 2016.
The IRS may soon be looking for a new watchdog.
Nina Olson has served as the in-house watchdog for the IRS since 2001, but later this year she will retire as the head of the IRS's Taxpayer Advocate Service. Olson says she's not leaving until July, but she wants to give the organization time for a smooth transition. The Taxpayer Advocate Service helps taxpayers resolve their issues with the IRS. It also produces an annual report to Congress about the most serious problems that taxpayers encounter. Olson's latest report focuses on the IRS's outdated technology and the impact of the recent government shutdown on the agency. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
America's newest capsule for astronauts is rocketing toward the International Space Station. A Falcon rocket blasted off with a Dragon capsule early today from Kennedy Space Center. The only passenger is a life-size test dummy. I'm Ann Cates.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-890-6688. That's 800-890-6688. 800-890-6688. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
We are given the gift of intuition on how to care for ourselves and our families, but too often we forsake that knowledge for the voice of authority. Green Tea Conversations is a radio show for people like you who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and who want to play a more active role in their family's well-being. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine, and I'm excited to bring Green Tea Conversations into your home. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts straight from the pages of Natural Awakenings who will share progressive ideas in the latest natural approaches in nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living in a fun and informative way. Podcasts of the show are available anytime at naturaltwincities.com, am950radio.com, on iTunes, or anywhere you get your podcasts. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversations on Sundays at 10 a.m. as we awaken to natural health.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, expect scattered flurries with wind chill values as low as negative 28. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near zero and a low around negative 9. Monday will be partly sunny with a high of 7. Tonight is the night. The Blue State Ball at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. Come see all of your AM950 favorites like Tom Hartman, John Fugelsang, and to Matt McNeil. You'll even get to meet me. Dress code is blue jeans to ball gowns. Tickets can now only be bought at the door. General admission starts at 6:30 p.m. I hope to see you there.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is hour two of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade. Say, this is, I have to say a couple things before we get going here. We were at this a documentary last night, and they wanted us to write down who our woman warrior was, and it was really interesting. It's cool. They're going to put it on the website, and I know Wendy put somebody, but I put Wendy. And the reason why I put Wendy is not only because of who she is, but what she does on the show and what she does 24/7 is that she cares for them, that name that you gave her, Choka. And every time I go around and people ask about – we talk about the show whenever I see anybody that listens to the show or watches the show, always says they love Wendy's spot. And that we wouldn't have this spot if it wasn't Wendy talking about our sacred animals. So I just want to say that before we introduce Wendy. We all know from all the – you know, with my heart, it's always good that you're here, and it's always good the words that you bring. So welcome, Wendy Pilot.
Thank you very much.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe, good food and good friends. Also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Eric got in there too.
Nice, Eric. Nice.
Hey, I want to introduce my beautiful wife, and she's works tirelessly on animal issues. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you very much. That was very nice that you said all those nice things. It kind of got me a little verklempt. my name is Hanaji Hihani, and I was given that name by my Dega here, and it means cares for them. So I always like to thank Curtis for that beautiful name. So I appreciate that. I'm a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state level. I want to say a quote here by Jane Goodall. So I don't know if all of you know who Jane Goodall is, and she was a primatologist and an anthropologist. And Jane Goodall is an expert on chimpanzees. She worked with them for over 55 years, and she's an animal advocate. And she works on conservation, and she's a really wonderful woman. And here is her quote. Change happens by listening and then starting a dialogue with the people who are doing something you don't believe is right. So I love that quote, and I want to repeat that quote here and there on the show. But I was kind of looking through my Facebook, and you know how your memories come up on Facebook, and there are things that happened a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. And there was an article that I had put up a couple of years ago that was one of a memory, and it came up. It was from 3 years ago. So I wanted to see if anything has changed since 3 years ago, and unfortunately, nothing has changed in this area, which I'm going to be talking about. You know, there is a heartbreaking truth about the treatment of horses used to produce estrogen replacement products. So estrogen replacement drugs are used for women who are in menopause and who have hot flashes and night sweats. And here is how the story goes for these unfortunate horses. And a lot of people don't really realize that this is going on because the industry really keeps it a really big secret. Because I think if people knew about it, they wouldn't take estrogen products and they would find alternatives. And this way it would save these horses. So a pregnant horse stands confined to a small stall, packed into a crowded facility with numerous others just like her. She has endured many pregnancies in her life, never having the chance to bond with her offspring, and exists purposely to serve one purpose, and that is to make a profit. This is the life of a PMU, and it stands for Pregnant Mare's Urine Farm, a facility that exists to produce a drug known as Premarin, that's the brand name, which is used for hormone replacement therapy in menopausal women.
Wendy, I'm afraid to ask, but can you tell us what is life for these poor horses?
Yeah, so the life for these PMU mares, so they're female horses, is brutal, and it entails a constant cycle of impregnation to keep their estrogen levels high. They will spend nearly 6 months of their 11-month pregnancies confined to stalls, unable to lie down or turn around, and once they give birth, their babies are escorted away. Another thing is that these horses are given very, very little water. And the reason why is because they need their concentrated urine that has this estrogen in it to make the medication. So these poor horses are really, like, really thirsty all the time. So this process is repeated over and over for the duration of the horse's life. Those that survive this extremely stressful and taxing life may be sent to auction when they are no longer useful, which more often than not means a swift trip to the slaughterhouse. While this is a tragic reality for mares, what happens to the byproduct of this industry, the thousands of PMU fowls born out of cruelty? The reality is just as heartbreaking for these young animals, especially considering that they are many synthetic alternatives that make this entire cruel cycle obsolete. Although there are now a number of synthetic options available on the market, Pfizer, which is the giant in the drug industry, still produces the original version as well as a combination drug, both using the urine from pregnant mares. In the last few years, the industry has decreased from nearly 35,000 horses to approximately 800 in North America. In its prime, PMU farms across the United States and Canada produce nearly 40,000 foals per year. Sadly, the industry has now expanded overseas to countries such as China, where animal protection laws are lacking. There are reportedly 90,000 mares currently in PMU farms in China alone. Until Pfizer no longer produces Premarin and other products, the horses caught up in the industry continue to suffer.
What happens to the foals?
Foals. So these are the baby horses. So horses used in the PMU industry are selectively chosen and are often pure bloodlines. The industry uses the farms as a kind of breeding establishment to produce highly profitable foals in addition to supplying urine to the drug companies. Foals born into the world are often high breeding and registered. So this company is making a profit off the byproduct. This is yet another example of how animals are exploited, used, and discarded for our own selfish purposes. Although some of the fowls will be fortunate enough to be adopted out into respectable homes, others are not so lucky. And a large majority make their way to auction houses along with worn-out mares and ultimately end up in crowded pens owned by kill buyers. So I kind of just want to, in the last few minutes here, just talk about
how can people help Wendy?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to bring this subject up because I think that a lot of women out there don't realize how this medication is made. And I think a lot of people who, when they find out, will be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to take this pill every day that's going to help my hot flashes and night sweats. And I think that there's lots of other alternatives that people can use. There's over-the-counter products. There's herbal products called black conish root. There's supplements that you can take. I know for myself, changing my diet had a lot to do with how I feel, and I don't have to take any replacements. So a low-fat diet, add some of the following to your diet. So seeds, we want to eat more flax seeds, sesame seeds, fruits, apricots, oranges, strawberries, peaches. Many dried fruits also will help. Vegetables, sweet potatoes, yams, carrots, alfalfa sprouts, kale, and celery. Soy products, tofu, miso soup, and soy yogurts. Dark rye bread, lentils, peas, pinto beans, olives, olive oil, and chickpeas. I have added multiples of these specific foods into my diet every single day, and I don't have any hot flashes. I don't have any night sweats.
You really liked it when you said, I could tell you really like sweet potatoes because your voice got higher. Sweet potatoes.
So there's a lot of things that people can do to get away from this estrogen replacement medication that really is causing hell on earth for these poor horses that are impregnated over and over again. A couple of other things. Don't smoke. Limit your alcohol. Sometimes I have a problem with that. But limit your alcohol.
That's a different show we're doing.
Exercise. Reduce your stress. Do yoga. Exercise more. All these things can help.
How about running down the street with 20-pound bag of sand?
On your shoulders. Yes, do it. So all women out there, let all your friends know that there are alternatives.
Well, when we saw Madonna, there was a clip of her running up the stairs at 70-some years old of a football stadium running up and down.
Running up and down the bleachers, and she said she needed to do that to keep her energy up so that she's able to go around and do all her activism work.
Yeah, and there you have it. Thank you so much, Peeny Geegee, Wendy. You add so much to the show and to our lives, and especially mine. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
Be Resale, clothing, thrift, and consignment store located at 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis. Be Resale, where casual, secondhand men and women's clothes are bought, sold, and traded at this easygoing shop. Be Resale. Find jewelry, sunglasses, shoes, hats, purses, pants, shirts, and more. Be Resale, where you can find Native Roots Radio I'm Awake swag. Be Resale. That's a small B, period.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by J&S Bean Factory. We need to go get some coffee, too, so...
Oh, I was going to howl.
Freshly ground coffee at J&S Bean Factory.
We'll be there. We love that dark roast. I know it is doesn't have as much caffeine, but I just love the taste. I don't know. Sue me. Say, we have somebody that kind of stepped it up for us here when you were gone, Wendy, and did a great job on a couple sacred animal things. And we want to thank my uncle. Uncle Carson, who's calling from Arizona, and he has a lot of information that I need to know. And welcome, Uncle Carson Dega. And can you just tell us your name?
Yeah, my name is Chakshep Khunoika, means little eagle.
Uh-huh.
I'm born into the eagle clan for the Ho-Chunk Nation. And I'd like to say, first of all, welcome back, Wendy.
Yeah, thank you. I want to say thank you so much, Carson, for doing such a fantastic job. I think that if I stayed out any longer, you would have definitely just taken my place and they would have got, you know, kicked me out and been like, you know what, Wendy, Carson's doing a really good job. So you're out and Carson's in. So I'm glad to be back and I'm glad you're on the show today. So thanks again. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I'm glad your mom's doing better anyway, okay?
Thank you.
You know, I said it before, I'll say it again. You got a face for Hollywood. These guys got a face for radio, so you can transition real nice, you know? I wanted to talk today about history, you know, since we got an administration now that wants to try to erase our history like we don't even exist anymore. And as far as he's concerned, that's the way it goes. But in the meantime, we do have a very, very beautiful history. All the native peoples of this continent, you know, the Ho-Chunk Nation to me is actually real important, being I am Ho-Chunk. And what I want to tell you about a little bit is a story of our personal history, our family, and where we became, you know. It's going to take a minute, so if you guys just bear with me out there in Radio Land and you guys at the studio there, you know. So as the story goes, I got this story from my mom, which I'm truly grateful to be part of listening to, you know. There was a time when... Ho-Chunk Nation, you know, where we're from in Wisconsin, that was our original place that we were at, the Creator put us there, you know. And along came another tribe that was a fairly big tribe that came to our land and they kind of squatted, you know. But we had issues with them because of the simple fact there was so many of them and our resources were being depleted right away. So naturally, we kind of go and head up with those guys about that. And we had some real serious issues between us, you know. it was nothing like the books depict that we were constantly warring against each other. We, you know, every once in a while we'd catch each other off guard and we'd scrap each other up, and that was about it. But it was about as serious as it got. Well, there was a time this Ho-Chunk man, he's seen across the field, he was out doing whatever he did, he's seen this Ojibwe lady there. And I guess instantly he realized how beautiful she was. He fell in love with her, you know. And she noticed him, too. And, they both tried to make their way out to that very same area so they could see each other, you know. And eventually, from seeing each other from a distance, they finally got up enough nerve to go talk, you know. And they realized that they had loved each other. Well, as things went, they fell in love, and they wanted to be together. And he even so much as he went to stay with her in her village because he couldn't be without her anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had a problem with that right away, you know, our people, because he's going to go be with them people. And, you know, they had a problem with him because he was coming to be with her, you know. But I guess she was pretty prominent in her village, so nobody said too much about it. The guy was there in their village, and, you know, they were in love. He just loved her so much he couldn't stand being away from her. So anyway, as time went by, she got pregnant, and she had twins. She had twin sons for this man, you know. And this man, he was very, very schooled at what he did for, like, he was a good, he could plant food that would get them through, I mean, stuff that would last in, like, drought and stuff. He would plant and live like that, and how he was a good hunter, and he could fish real good. He was a Ho-Chunk, man, okay? Let's say it like that, you know? And I guess eventually these guys from her tribe, they got kind of jealous of him, you know, because, boy, he really thinks he's something, you know, that guy. And he was actually helping them along with the information he was giving them, you know? And they were using it, so it worked either way, you know, but they had that jealousy about them. And so one night, I guess, she heard them talking in one of their council meetings that they were plotting against him, you know, and they were going to murder him in his sleep. They're going to come at 2 o'clock in the morning and murder him, you know. So she told him, she went back and told him, you got to go. You can't, they're going to murder you. He said, no, I'll stand up for our family. I can do this. She said, they're going to murder you because there's so many of them. They're going to come at you like that. So she talked him into going back to his people, but she said, when your sons are old enough to make their own choice, I'll get them back to you if that's what they choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so he did that. He did that, okay? And, you know, after years of the sons grew up, and the one son, he said, I want to go be with my dad, you know? So just like she said, you know, she had taught those kids all she knew about Ho-Chunk ways because she learned a lot from her husband like that, you know? She taught him, like, everything she knew, you know? And so she brought him to the village in a field across from where the village was for the Ho-Chunk people. She said, that's all you got to do is just walk in there and just tell him who you are, you know. Make sure you talk in Ho-Chunk language, right?
Hmm.
So anyway, they seen that he was dressed in Ojibwe clothing, you know. But he started speaking Ho-Chunk so right away. And then his father found out that this boy was back. So he came running, and sure enough, it was his son, you know. And well, the story has it, he met a Ho-Chunk girl that he fell in love with in the village. And they had a baby. Well, that was where our family came from right there.
Ooh.
Okay? That's a micro version of that story, but... You know, I, you know how all this so-called history that comes out in the school books and stuff, it's not history, it's his story, because mm-hmm. if it was true history, you're kind of telling those people how tyrannical they were towards us and their sacking of our villages and like that, you know. But that was, I've been thinking about history, and that was, Robert had told me, asked me if I could say something about Ho-Chunk history,
mm-hmm.
and that was the first thing that came to my mind. That's where our family came from. It was an Ojibwe woman and a Ho-Chunk man had children, and one of them boys came and got married to a Ho-Chunk girl. That's where our family came from.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
That's pretty cool, huh?
That's really cool.
You know, mom told me that, and, you know, she used to do that on occasion. She'd sit me down for breakfast. She'd be having some tea, and I'd have some coffee during this talk, and she taught me a lot of things. She taught me things that a woman could teach her son,
mm-hmm.
but mostly, like, when my uncles weren't around, they would have taught me about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that is so cool, you know, and to have real history as opposed to his story, you know? That's,
right.
You know, that's the best thing is sit at your elders' feet and listen, you know?
That's what we were just doing. Say, we only got about 30 seconds in this segment. Do you have some more wisdom to tell us on the next segment?
Come on, Hugga.
I don't know if I have any wisdom in the first place.
Come on, Hugga.
If I had some wisdom, I'm sure I'd try to share it with you, but I'm afraid I don't have any wisdom.
Honestly,
I appreciate you guys being where you're at. You guys are, man, hey, keep doing what you're doing. I got to say that over and over because, man, you guys are bringing information out to the communities, man, that wouldn't normally get it. I'm sitting in Tucson talking to you right now, so
mm-hmm.
that news by moccasin travels a long ways, man.
Oh.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. That's if that's wise or not, I don't know. I'm kind of a wise guy, but it's usually Budweiser, so I'm not
anymore. Love you, Honga. Love you, Honga.
All right, you guys. All right. Hey, thank you for everything, man. You guys keep doing what you do, man.
Pini Gigi. You're listening. That was Carson West in Arizona. You're another Ho-Chunk in my Dega. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one out of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, expect scattered flurries with wind chill values as low as negative 28. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near zero and a low around negative 9. Monday will be partly sunny with a high of 7. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is The Great Wall. The Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious mix of both Szechuan and Peking dishes since 1981. Check out their location just north of 50th and France in Edina.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350.
Awesome. Hey, so Wendy, we were watching, we went to that documentary and it was awesomely done because there was a lot of old footage from AIM. We even saw like Winona LaDuke when she was working on the no nukes in the Black Hills, speaking up. And Madonna, Black Hawk was everywhere.
Thunderhawk
was everywhere. And it was just an amazing – there was so much information in that 62 minutes. It was unbelievable. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it was great. I love the story.
So we still have our Mydega on, and we wanted to ask you because you have, through the Red Schoolhouse and Eddie Benton and all the Amster gangsters, you have some experience with AIM. Welcome back, Uncle Carson. Uncle Curtis, Uncle Carson.
Thank you. I experienced the time when they started getting ready to go out to Wounded Knee in the first place. You know, they came out to Camp Wendigo, which we lived right by. My father worked for a place down on the west side of St. Paul, the neighborhood house. They owned the camp. Well, they used the camp's daycare side to get ready for their. They did a bunch of ceremonies and stuff there. A week long, they gave naming ceremonies, peyote ceremonies. They did a bunch of things. The only thing I can think of that they didn't do was piercing, you know, but they were making ready to go out there because they were about to partake in something that was very, you know, could have been very gravely for them, you know. But so the men that were there, they got ready. It took them about a week, and then they all took off in a caravan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of something to watch them come in there, you know. There's all kinds of old Indian cars coming down into the camp, you know. And I got to be there on their ceremonies. I go down there every day, you know. I remember one evening, Leonard Crow Dog was doing some ceremonials, you know, and we were sitting in that main lodge there, and everybody sitting on the floor, and he was going through, he was speaking Lakota language, but, you know, I knew in my spirit exactly every word he was saying, you know.
Mm.
I noticed, you know, he was dressed in his traditional, what he would wear, you know, and he had this big eagle fan, you know, it was a big golden eagle's wing, you know. And I remember he was going around smudging people with his smudge bowl of sage and cedar, you know, and you know, you could hear him. He had a pair of moccasins on. You could hear him walking on that floor barely, you know.
Mm.
But I remember he was praying, so I had my head down. I was listening to what he was saying in my spirit that I could understand, you know. All of a sudden, I felt his eagle's wings on my neck, you know. And I looked back, and he wasn't there, man. He was on the other side of the lodge at the time, you know.
Whoa.
But that eagle was right there above me, you know. And you know, I knew at that time, they told me if I wanted to go, I could go along, you know. They said there was going to be other kids out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I asked my mom, and she said I couldn't. I was too young, you know. But we had a lot of Ho-Chunk relatives that they were part of that the original Wounded Knee when they went over there. You know, they were part of everything that happened. These relatives of ours were there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to prove that, we found some dossiers that the FBI had wrote about all of these people. They were doing surveillance on them 24/7, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Found a bunch of our relatives in this dossier. And, of course, most of it's redacted and stuff, but they had, you know, they told enough about what they were looking for. And I couldn't believe the kind of stuff they were noticing about these people while they're inside their homes, how they could hear them and basically see them when they had to look through walls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know what? The American Indian Movement, man, they're a very powerful organization that if we didn't have them, things would be a whole lot different for us right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can tell by the way they try to blow us off like we don't even count. It would be worse for us if it weren't for them guys putting themselves on the line for the native people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are my heroes, man. I'm going to tell you what. I knew all the original AIM members, the ones that come out of the joint. They all came out of the joint, and they put that organization together, you know. And it was a very positive thing that they all come up with out of a negative situation that they were in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever reason they found themselves incarcerated, they came out and they did some real justice for it. The native people throughout this country, man. And I'll tell you what, my heroes come in native brown, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My heroes come in eagle feathers and bandanas, you know? And my heroes are true heroes. They're not them Stan Lee kind of heroes, you know? So,
right.
I mean, any one of them, any leaders or any members that are listening right now, man, you guys are all my heroes, man. And with that, man, I'm going to let you have it back, Robert. Hey, thanks for letting me talk, man.
Ahoo, yeah. So, Pini Gigi, it was interesting because the women were the backbone and the men were the jawbone is what they were saying last night. Right,
absolutely.
Wendy? Yeah. And so
absolutely.
There was a lot of women that were behind the scenes they were showing last night.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's absolutely correct. You know, like I say, a lot of our relatives that were over in Wounded Knee at the time were actually the females, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Native women in general are the backbone. Absolutely. I'll tell you what. they'll stand in front of you if you need them to, man. You know, they'll never do that on their own. But if they need, if they need your help, believe me, if you need their help, our females will stand for us, man. And you know, they'll take whatever we're facing, you know. We're fortunate the Creator give us females that are like that. We're very blessed, you know.
Haga. So, Haga.
Yeah.
Our sister, Diane LaPointe, was over there for all 75 days.
Absolutely. That was one of them we read about in the dossiers, you know. Our sister, Jean Day from Wisconsin Dells, man. She was another one that was over there. And like I say, they have 24/7 on because they were considered political dissidents, you know.
Right.
And anybody that's involved in the American Indian movement to this day is considered a dissident against this country. And, you know, hey, that keeps us in the same place that we've always been with them anyway. So nothing new, nothing's changed.
Haga,
we're still standing for our own. Yeah.
Haga, yes. Refresh my mind on this. When what was that? Was it by Wounded Knee or before Wounded Knee when they came and we occupied our Red Schoolhouse and wouldn't let nobody in? And it was all the young people that were our security at the school.
That was afterwards. That was what that was about, was they were trying to take the school away from us. And that was the only thing we had. See, that's one of the first things AIM did when they come out and they organized, was they realized how our kids were not getting education out of the public school system, that we were not only dropping out, but we were being pushed out. So they put that together, and they wanted it to be Native culture mostly, and then they do the academics after that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were trying to take the Red Schoolhouse away from us. Our rent was paid up for like 3 years in advance, and they were just going to take it away from us because we were Natives that were finally making some kind of success in education, you know. And, you know, for whatever reason, the leaders of that school were kind of against whatever their principles are and stuff. So, but yeah, so we occupied it. We kept our stuff, man. And yeah, we did. We sweat them like garbage. When they came through the door, they had to come through the gate first. They had to walk up a stairway. They had to show their ID to guys going all the way up into the school. And we basically made them show IDs to get out of the school, you know.
And they were all students. The adults were there, but it was mostly students that run that security force up them stairs. I remember that. And even the TV cameras tried to come in there, and even the mayor had to pull out his ID and prove it was him.
Exactly. Well, you know, we had people from the neighborhood that, because of the sensationalism that we were getting, we had people trying to act crazy and, you know, trying to sneak up on us. And we pulled a couple of citizens arrests on some people that were from the neighborhood that were acting goofy. One guy came out with a big butcher knife. I don't know what he was thinking about when he got into the place of hiding. We were all standing right around him, so, you know. So we snatched him up and called the police. They came and arrested him we did a citizen's arrest on him. And that butcher knife that we kind of took away from him, you know. He didn't get harmed, man, and that's true. Nobody harmed him.
No.
He did go to jail for that, you know.
So that was about 1975, 76?
That was probably that was later than that.
77, I think, right, Carson? About 77?
It was like, it had to be like 80, 81, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in there, yeah. So myself, I went to the Red Schoolhouse during my high school, my senior year, and then when I graduated, I ended up going back and working for the school for about 6 or 7 years. I was a head of maintenance and then janitorial.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I got to meet every celebrity that was Native that came through town. They always ended up going to the Red Schoolhouse to be around Native people, you know. So got to meet some real cool brothers and sisters, you know, over the history, you know.
Buffy St. Marie.
Buffy, yes. Will Sampson.
Sampson. I
mean, the guys, celebrities, you know.
Rita
Coolidge.
The
guys that were defending us, too, like William Kunstler and like that, you know, so. There was a lot of actors and actresses that came through there that were white folks that were down with the Native cause, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to meet them. We were celebrities to them, you know, and so that was pretty cool. It was an experience that anybody that went to the Red Schoolhouse will remember, just like I am. It was a good experience for me because it taught me how cool it was to be Native American, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's okay to know who you are, where you're from, and you that way you get an idea where you might go, you know?
I had a couple cousins going there, too, didn't I, over the years?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, so, we had some Vegas and some Julies that worked there, too, you know?
My mom cooked there.
Yeah,
with Flo Herman, right?
Yep, that's right.
What about, here's a guy that always talks about you when I see him, and when he always mentions your name. When we were at Standing Rock with him, his name is Mark Twiggs.
Mm.
Yeah, he was a student there. Him and his brother went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
And, those guys, man, you know, the kids that went there, man, they're going to have fond memories of that place because of the simple fact it was okay to be Native in the cities, man, you know? It was kind of a hard time at them times to be Native. It didn't matter how old you were, but for a kid that's in school, man, it was pretty tough. But they went to a place there where they didn't have to get hassled for being Native, you know?
Uh-huh.
They didn't have nobody sweating them about being Native in this time, you know, at this day and age, you know? So I got a lot of good memories, and all the staff in general, and the kids that over the years, you know, met a lot of people from Canada,
mm-hmm.
and like I say, all over the country, man. It was a good experience. It's too bad we don't have that anymore at this time, but hopefully somebody's going to see the need for it again and put it back together, because it was very necessary for us kids, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I know there's some people listening right now that I'm thinking of, and they're probably thinking the same thing that I just was able to say it right now, you know? But, yeah, you know, you guys, hey, you gave me a forum to even bring that up. That's cool. I can't even tell you how cool that is.
I know there's a Facebook page for Red School alumni that have like 400 or 500 people on there, and the pictures are unbelievable of everybody that went to the school, and they had the yearbooks and all the great leaders. And again, you know, that was Clyde Belcourt and those guys that started that. The survival schools
and the educators, Carson, all them good Wangsheek teachers, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Batiste brothers, Chaz Batiste, and his brother Dave Edwards, Dave and Mike Pula. I mean, these guys were my favorite teacher, man, of all time, Jerry Dearley, man.
Yeah.
One thing he taught me about things like history and his story. You know how
mm-hmm.
how history is different than the guy's story that it's in the books. So that was one of the reasons why they started it, was so we knew the truth about things when it came to our people, you know. Try to understand why you carry a broken heart and don't even know what it is. Well, we carry a broken heart that happened to our ancestors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, we all do, you know. So, you know, we're coming to a point here pretty soon we'll be able to shed those tears and get rid of it forever, you know. So, and then it's just something that we're going to have to do with the hand of Creator, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's the things. Jerry Dearley was the best teacher I ever had, man, and you know. I'll tell you, the guy he'd start calling the whole classroom, telling a joke, and then before you knew it, you were already learning, you know?
Uh-huh.
That was so good, man. That's what all the teachers were for Red Schoolhouse.
Well, yeah. Peeny Gigi Dega Carson West in Arizona, I really appreciate your stories whenever I hear them, and I'm sure our audiences listening to you are feeling the same way. Peeny Gigi, for being our show and being who you are.
You're very welcome, and I say, why ain't you enough? You say, Pina Gigi, we know.
And don't forget about Lynn.
yeah.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We'll be right back. I just missed an inside joke, I think.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families, Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ho-Chunk Nation, the people with the sacred voice.
Speaking of sacred voice, I wanted to introduce my Daga here, my our choke of our family, Uncle Curtis, and everybody's favorite part of this show. That I talked about people talking about your part, but they always say, your uncle is so funny. He sounds so native. And I go, oh, Victor. Victor, your mom don't make good fry bread.
And this is, what does my elder think?
Ha-ho, ha-ho. My name is, thank you, Chuzunk. Thank you, Robert. And thank you, my brother Carson Haga West down in Arizona. I know you're listening. Appreciate your encouraging and very informational words. Mm-hmm. Pino. And my name is Moshke Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name is Curtis West. And I got to say hi to my baby girl at home. You know, she worked long hours last night, so she's probably still snoozing. So she'll catch a pod later. But, hey, I want to say hello to my relatives, friends, and family in four directions. And like we say, we pray all is well. We pray for you in the morning. We pray for you at night. Mm-hmm. And we want to say it that way. And like I said, they let me do a few things here, shout-outs, birthdays, and events and things like that. So I'm going to start off with some birthdays. One of my Chuske's sons, or my nephew's sons, yeah, his name's Tanner Josephson. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Tanner. And a friend of both me and Robert's here. We haven't seen the guy in a long time, but we'd like to say happy birthday to David Wright. Happy birthday, David. And a friend down there, somewhere down there in Arizona or New Mexico, she's from the west side. Her name's Liberty Ingalls. So I'm going to wish you happy birthday, Liberty. And like we said, we can't forget our elders, you know, but I didn't get my Woduck this week. And I was telling Robert, must have been the snowstorm or something. Mailman didn't bring my Woduck, and I didn't see my elders' March birthdays. So I'm just going to say it like this, like my Daga Nate used to do. He used to put the hand up and go like that, you know, moving it side to side. Happy birthday to all the early March elders, you know. You know, I get the names, I'm going to bring them up again. I'll be belated. But all you elders, I'm going to say it like that, you know. Uh-huh. And we're going to get some shout-outs here, you know. And I got some events coming up, too, that are real important. But I want to say Pinagigi to Sheriff Hutch. Oh. And my son, Dallas West, you know, they did a good thing. I did it 4 years in a row. You know, they call it the polar bear plunge for Special Olympics. Yeah. And Sheriff Hutch jumped in there and
got all wet.
I got all wet. And my son jumped in a penguin suit. And he said that he's going to show me some pictures. But I can't wait to see that penguin jumping into Madej Muska. So shout outs are that way, you know. And I want to say this one's really important to me. I had this kid as a player on my basketball team when he was younger. Now he's a man. But his name's Julio Cineneros. You know, he's just got promoted to corporal from the United States Marine Corps. Ooh. So, you know, I want to say congrats out to him, you know. And another one I want to say is safe travels to Danny and Luann White Eagle. down there. They went down to Florida and watched the launch of that that SpaceX down there. It's kind of history down there. So I want to say that. And another special shout-out from Wendy, Robert, and myself. We want to say a shout-out to Missy Whiteman. You know, we want to say hello, and, you know, I'm glad you're tuning in, you know, like that, you know. And the events we got coming up is today is the AM 950 Blue State Ball. And that's tonight. At it starts at 5 o'clock over at the historic Blaisdell in Minneapolis. You know, come on over there, and Robert's going to be handing out pencils and information, you know. And,
at the door.
At the door, and I'll be standing right next to him. But
well, yeah. Hopefully they'll have tickets available, right?
Yeah, hopefully they
buy
will.
Buy tickets when you get in there, yeah.
Right, right. Right.
And
are there tickets still available, Eric?
Yeah, only at the door, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, so anyway, hey, our friend and the new sheriff in town, Hutch, will be there, too. I imagine he's going to be looking for Chad. So I mean,
that's right. Hey, I got a couple quick things, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I want to, like, give a shout-out to our Facebook friends. We have just surpassed 2,000 likes. And matter of fact, it was 2,000 likes, and then I just looked right now, and it's 2,002 likes. So thank you for supporting us and listening to us and supporting our sponsors. I know you all do that because we get a lot of great feedback. And also, too, this Wednesday, Native Roots Radio, a smaller segment size is going to be on KFAI Radio, and we're going to be all three of us doing that with
I can't say that.
It's a native show that we're going to be on
every
week.
And it's Wednesday at 1 p.m. Right. Wednesday, 1 p.m., we have like a 17-minute segment.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Awesome.
And,
yeah.
And well, it'll be a smaller version of the show that you listen to today. But and so, Uncle, we're going to ask Uncle Curtis to talk really fast.
All right, I'm going to talk real fast. I said, you know, blah blah blah. Ho-Chunk language class Monday beginners at 5:30.
No. When we do that show.
Oh,
you're good. Right
okay.
Now.
I'll slow down. Ho-Chunk language class Monday beginners at 5:30. Thursday beginners plus advance at 6:30 at the branch office. You know, and they always say. There's going to have – you can bring a dish to share, but we always say if you don't, just bring your feed bag because there will be plenty of food over there.
Nom, nom, nom.
And anyway, coming up on March 6th on Wednesday, it's the March Welcome Event and Office over for MN350 building, 6:30 to 8:30 at 4407 East Lake Street. And they said come in, you know, and check out the new space and enjoy a delicious food and that. And then come in and meet the volunteers and the staff and you know. Come
and some in. Board members maybe will be there.
Yeah, that'll be nice. That'll be really nice. But, yeah, so then on March 9th, this one's really important that Chu Jung brought up. That's the smoke signals screening at the Walker Arts Center. It's 7 o'clock at 725 Vineland Place in Minneapolis. And
but everyone knows where the Walker is. Just throw that into your Google app and
yeah,
it'll
Walker
find
Art
it.
Center.
You know, it's right in the building. It's exciting, and that's what Missy Whiteman's been running through the Walker, and she's done a great job. She did a great job last night facilitating the conversation.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And the other one we're going to give a shout out before I forget. You know, we miss you a whole bunch out there, you know, and you know, Misty and, you know, and Crystal Moose. You know, where have you been?
Digger, I was wondering if you had an elder saying or some wise words for us.
Yeah. This one's going out. You know, we were talking about the kids earlier. This is a lesson for the young ones, you know. If an elder is standing, you better not be sitting. And show respect.
Oh, I like that one. I would like to end with these thoughts from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. The revolution is kicking into high gear. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. I'd like to thank everyone that's been on the show today. We're going to see you guys tonight. Pini Gigi to all our guests, and of course to Wendy Pilot and Uncle Curtis and Uncle Carson. If you've been listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We are still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.